really a lot of change.
No, there's nothing.
Everybody's made a start. Welcome, everybody in the audience. Thank you for coming along. It's such a warm evening. We'll kick straight off to receive apologies for absence.
And apologies from Councillor Williams, Councillor Webster, and Councillor Chris Pereira.
Okay. Are we happy to accept those?
Councillor Davison as well, who's harvesting.
He's harvesting?
Yeah, he's still getting a lot.
Not much to harvest, is there?
Well, no, they basically nearly finished it. They normally start that now, but
yeah, they're finishing.
Davison as well.
To record declarations of interest, anyone around the table?
We'll vote for the absence.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, I think I did that, didn't I?
No, we haven't voted.
Oh, well, sorry. Are we all happy to accept those apologies? One of these days, someone will say, I object.
Well, that is not a valid reason.
We haven't heard the reasons.
No, we haven't.
Are we still happy?
Yeah.
To record the declarations of interest. Carl, City Councillor. Anyone else as far as the agenda is concerned? Thank you. Public session, 15 minutes, 3 minutes per speaker. Who'd like to speak? You go first?
Yeah, hi. I've never done this before, so I don't know what the protocol is.
Well, you just stand up and off you go. You've got 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'm here on behalf of the allotments, Mersey Allotments. We'd like to request, if possible, that the council can confirm prices for plots by September, please, so that Hayley, who I believe is a member of the council, is able to get invoices and bills out to members by October. This would make things significantly easier for us to manage going forward, as we've had to change quite a few things with the management of the allotments. So, I'm here just on behalf of the allotments to do that, basically.
I'm sure we can do that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'll make a note of that. The finance. Next. It's only 3 minutes.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. There's a national crisis of people drowning in this country. The biggest tragedy was off the city's beach at West Mersey, claiming 3 members of the same family. 3 years earlier, a man drowned whilst heroically saving his son in the same area. Did the city put up warning signs after this tragedy? No, they put up parking fees to compensate for the possible loss of revenue. Because Mersey's gold mine is its gold mine, a cash cow, to embellish the castle park further and their castles in the sky. You can sink or swim as long as they get their parking fees. Essex highwayman Dick Turpin was not so brutal. With him, it's your money or your life. You pays your money and your life was safe. With the parking pirates, you pays your money but your life's not safe. We've been campaigning for years for safety equipment and signage, but the authorities won't act. Sadly, the day before the tragedy, with my nephew from Australia, we erected life buoy rings all along Victoria Esplanade, donated by locals, for the start of the summer holidays. The first ring went up in June by children, by money raised in their SpongeBob money box.
I've got a prop here. This is
5-year-old kids raised money for a life buoy ring. The authorities won't do that. 5-year-old kids paid for a ring. The first ring went up in June by children, by money raised in their money box. At the joint raft life buoy launch, a town council said, that's not the way to do it. And the council said, basically, this has nothing to do with us, Gov. It's the city. The city said it's advisors, their get out of jail free card, that rescue equipment was not recommended for rescue here. Rescue equipment was not. That doesn't make sense. The Crown Estates cop out was a blame game. The children's swing rafts had to come out immediately, otherwise, I could be going to prison. So they were moved with tears and fears from the children and their parents. 4 days later, going past Seaview Avenue, where a LIPO ring had been used in the rescue, had not been replaced. So I did it immediately with a donated ring. But still no signage. More people could drown. They could drown today, they could drown the weekend. There's no signage. People see these colourful beach huts on the website, come down, pay the $9.45 to park, see a no bait digging sign, and then think, then they are lambs of the slaughter when they enter the water. What are the council going to do to prevent further tragedies? Plus the children want their safety swimming aids, the rafts relaunched, with kids them safely inshore. And
the kids, they done this
2 years ago. They launched that 2 years ago. Sadly, their father, 46, has died. They're coming down. They launched the raft. Their mother launched the raft when she was young. Their mother and their grandmother. And they're coming down and they want to play on the rafts safely. They don't want to play on the tank traps. The tank traps are still there. They're fine. You can play on a tank trap and get killed, but you can't have a raft. We want action. We want signs up now. Can't leave it any longer. Thank you for listening.
Because it is on the agenda, we will touch on that.
On the agenda, we need them up this weekend and that one could happen.
We'll touch on that later on.
That was you, when you as a councillor, said we should put our car parking fees up to match mould. You should have said we should put up signs warning the danger. Not, it's all about money, money, money. Lives don't matter. Thank you.
Next one, please. Ian.
Thank you. I consider the council is on borrowed time in respect of any death or injury of a user of its Monkey Beach and should now erect signage as to obstructions and of tidal flows in Besom Fleet, as in the examples I provided or others, and then only remove them if the risk assessment considers they are not required. I refer to my previous submissions to the council and to the Waterside Forum, copied to the council, including the risk assessment undertaken for similar bathing rafts deployed by Weymouth Town Council, which resulted in their removal and from the beach owned by the town council, such as here, due to tidal flows. I had asked to join the bathing raft working group, but that was refused, which I consider should comprise both those who support their deployment and those who do not, for reasons of public safety and the risk to the council itself. Else it is comprised of those people who see green lights but do not see amber or red ones. The risk assessment for Weymouth Town Council indicated that they should only be placed in an area patrolled by lifeguards and be hauled in when the lifeguards were not present. This, that as here, would not be practical. We have seen recent and earlier drownings of adults and children swept away by the tidal flow. The rafts are in up to 6 metres depth and up to 40 metres from the shore in an area of tidal flows, as evidenced by these and other incidents, and are not suitable for young children or casual bathers. I was recently interviewed for over 3 hours by the police to review the work I'd done on tidal flows off the main beach, which, for example, can increase in speed by 50% in a 6 metre tide compared to a 4 metre tide, and over shingle splits, which are a feature of the beach here. Importantly for the council, Weymouth were also advised in the event of a death or injury, the council could be subject to a criminal prosecution by the HSE, which itself could not be insured against, and if prosecuted, could affect its ability to reclaim legal fees and damages awarded under its public liability insurance, should a subsequent civil claim be made. I highlight the earlier criminal prosecution of Maldon District Council by the HSE after a bather died after entering the water and striking a submerged object, and the subsequent civil claim against that council by the dependents of the person, noting, for example, that boulders have been exposed by recent erosion in the area of the rafts, which may result in a similar incident. I will make a written submission to the council and to the city council through the Waterside Forum in respect of these issues, and I ask that it's reviewed by the assessors that you appoint. Thank you. Can I say something else, which I'll put in writing? Village Green 241 North. I ask that the council considers purchasing, leasing, or managing the launching area forming part of Village Green 241 North, adjacent to the Datchet Sailing Club, to protect it and to obtain control of it, including launching, mooring, and recreational use. The area is owned by an absent third party and risks being abused by others. The council has no control of it, has no statutory authority as such over Village Green that is not owned or managed by it.
Okay.
This would provide that.
Can that go on the agenda? The waterside agenda.
He's asked it to go on the town council one for us to buy it. Well, you could look at it, but we'll need
Let's get a view.
Can you clarify the membership of the Bathers Raft working group is only councillors?
I was just under the impression that we could actually invite people on.
You can,
but
present it is only councils.
That's my invite.
Yeah.
And at present there's only three councils. It is reaffirmed in.
Yeah, there's three of us on it. And I mean, me personally, I would always welcome his insight. And it was never refused. It's just that we haven't arranged for another get together. But it was never refused that you. I would always welcome your insight.
Thank you. Yeah, it wasn't replied to, but
okay.
I accept it wasn't
okay.
Refused.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, working parties often
yeah.
doing
yeah, yeah.
members
yeah.
of the public.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Is anyone else going to John and Chris?
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, councillors. There are 2 points from tonight's agenda I'd like to raise. Firstly, 26212, that the council wishes to proceed with the Glebe Phase 1 rebuild project. But we still don't have a clear plan, at least in public, on how this is going to be funded. Some are putting the cart in front of the horse, and the council are more to the point precept payers in debt without a proper plan, and without a clear commitment from the sports clubs to raise more funds towards new facilities and ensure Mersey-only memberships. Utter madness and financial impropriety, in my view. Then 26217. At the last town council meeting, during debate of the item to discuss foreshore West Mersey signage and agree necessary actions, Councillor Powling alleged that the previous mayor, Councillor Webster, had withdrawn West Mersey Town Council's participation from the Waterside Forum. This comment is available on that meeting's recording. Councillor Hinderwell challenged this claim, stating correctly that the previous mayor could not and did not unilaterally withdraw the council from the forum. But Councillor Powling repeated the allegation, despite this being substantially untrue. In fact, it was wholly untrue. Councillor Powling lied to score a cheap political shot at an absent Councillor Webster. I call on Councillor Powling to formally withdraw the allegation and to apologise on record to Councillor Webster. I also note that respectfully, the clerk should have noted the lack of accuracy of the comment and corrected the record within the meeting. Additionally, and again respectfully, I note that the Chair did not admonish Councillor Powling for his breach of Councillor Code of Conduct, which states that councillors will treat all persons fairly and with respect, uphold high standards of conduct when acting as a councillor. Respect is defined in the code as meaning you can challenge and criticise and disagree with views and ideas and opinions and policies in a robust but civil manner, not, however, subject individuals to personal attack. As a councillor, you do not bully any person, you do not harass any person, says the code. Sadly, this is not the first occasion that Councillor Powling has used a meeting to attack and bully Councillor Webster. At the West Mersey Town Council meeting of the 2nd of October, Councillor Powling tabled a farcical motion, re-mayoral procedure and civic protocol policy, with unfounded and preposterous allegations tabled. I assert that should Councillor Powling to decline to apologise unreservedly, then the Chair should suspend Councillor Powling pending a full inquiry under the Code. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Anyone else like to speak?
Sorry, last one. last time I was here, we discussed the signs, and I said I would like to see pictorial signs up there, so people who are not who can't read our language, or children, if we have low-level signage with pictures on what the dangers are and how to prepare ourselves if we are in danger, that would be probably much better than just the sign up there. And you said, Carl, you said that signage is already in print for something. I still don't know what is going to be on print and where they're going to be. However, when I was speaking with the mayor at the Gleep, we were originally going to meet up together. The clerk could take my telephone number, and we're going to meet about the Victoria signs. I was supposed to take sketches and all that stuff, and all of a sudden at the Gleep, I said, I haven't heard back. When are we meeting? And I've been told that due to Carl having actually the signage done, that should be sufficient and we don't need it anymore. I still find that not right, because I still think pictures are far better for as a safety bit. We can only have like 3 or 4 on different sub parts of the beaches that people are just aware of what tidal waves are or tidal waters are, and where there are dangers, where the sand spits are, whatever, that they're more dangerous there, just to see what is actually going on. It's much better than just having a right saying, say, no bathing here, or it's danger, because a lot of people will take that in or don't understand it. So I'd like to see if that will still go ahead, or if you still think we're not doing that.
Well, I think most of us would agree that pictorial is much better than wording.
Thank you.
We're still waiting to hear, aren't we, Carl, what's Colchester intend to do?
I'll give you a bit of an update on you.
Okay.
We'll
come to that on the agenda. We'll try and cover it if we possibly can.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Well, we'll move on then in that case. To receive County and City Council's report. Well, the County's not here, so you'd like to go?
John was always here, wasn't he? So the big issue that's on the horizon, you're probably aware of as councillors, is last week in August, we'll be meeting the local plan committee. The main issue for that committee will be to vote on putting out the amended local plan, in other words, with the amendments that have been done following their previous consultation, out to what's called a Regulation 19 consultation. That is essentially a kind of a French polishing type consultation. There is not normally significant changes to a plan at Regulation 19. There can be some, but essentially it's the consultation that has to happen before it goes to the planning inspector. There are a lot of issues with the local plan, not least the government keeps moving the goalposts, and we are, as I've said before, we are absolutely over a barrel on this one, because if we don't have a local plan, we are wide open to speculative development. Developers can just go any rural area, Mersey, Langenhoe, wherever, like 500,000 houses. Colchester Council is about to turn it down. We have to refer it to the Minister, anything over 150 houses, so the Minister, Angela Rayner, can approve it, meet the government 1.5 million house building target. What really needs to happen, we are trying to make the best of a bad job, basically. That is the best that we can do. Try and get some of that necessary infrastructure in place, trying to get some policies in place that will actually try to alleviate that. One of those that we've still got in place that I managed to persuade officers about a year or so ago, Dawes Lane, there is a restriction that planning permission should not be given until the GP situation is resolved, and that shows no sign of being resolved at the moment. There's no guarantee if it goes to the minister won't just ignore that. because the minister can pretty well do what they want, unfortunately. The other issue is, and this is where we're up against the wall, if the local plan is not effectively approved by the 31st of December, there is a whole new local plan process that kicks in, which means the local plan has got to be completely redone on a different process, and we are talking months and months, up to a year. That is a year where we've got virtually no power to stop speculative development. As I said, what we're looking at is trying to manage it to the least worst scenario. Once the local plan is approved, what it will mean is the council's then got a 5-year supply of building sites that meets the new upgraded house building target, the extra 40% that kicked in February. That means at that point we've got a chance of stopping any other planning applications being approved. That potentially does have an impact on Mersey. I'm not going to go into details in a public meeting, but you know, essentially that's where we're at. It's the choice between sort of a bad situation and an even worse situation. It's the best I can put it, I'm afraid. And I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news,
not cheering us up much, are you?
That is the situation we're in. We are constantly seeing the government moving the goalposts on planning law.
Okay. Thank you.
And I think I can't remember why I've said this to you before, but that one about we have to refer anything over 150 houses, that formally kicked in on 31st of March.
Do you want to come with
something? I know John's waiting.
I've got my hand.
I'd like to hear Carlos, whether he's got any more comments on this item.
No, the local plan, I do know that too.
Okay. I wonder where we're at on talks with Anglian Water, because unless I'm mistaken, there was some talk that city councillors would have a meeting with Anglian Water.
Yeah, I have arranged a meeting with one thing, hopefully my opinion, in September regarding Anglian Water's plans, but we're waiting for the officers due to holidays and that they're going to arrange it in September.
Okay, so...
Yeah, we're waiting for a date.
Okay. The other thing that I'm really interested in, on the agenda right at the end, in this very room, in fact, we had quite a constructive meeting with Karen Sauer, really leading on the plan, although some of us got heavily involved, of course. And we spent 2 hours going through the place policies, both for West Mersey. I happen to think, Martin, that we together, and I think it is together, that we've achieved an awful lot. We've got an island policy, and we've got a coastal area policy. I never thought in my lifetime we'd ever get a policy for an island. Mersey's not mentioned by name as set in the title, but it's the largest by far of the islands. So we've got a policy which deals with the environment, all that. So we had a meeting to see how we could actually improve it, and we had a meeting also on place policy for Dawes Lane and on caravans. Yeah? A lot of detailed points put forward. We raised the fact that you were going to have a meeting, Carl. I'm not sure about you because you're in a, because of being the chair of the committee. But Robert and Carl have a meeting with her. As a matter of interest, you might not want to give it in an open session, but I'd be really interested on behalf of the council to receive a report of what took place at that meeting with Karen.
Probably similar to your meeting. There were one or two issues that we can perhaps push more easily when it's just city councillors. What I would say is getting new policies through takes time. I first started pushing for that island policy and was shot down about 15 months ago. What changed was yet another one of the government's changes in the planning law, which required local plans to have a marine policy, which actually gave that extra bit of impetus to push on that one. I have got the odd thing in my back pocket I'm still trying to get through. I'll keep you updated on that.
That would be very helpful because, can I say, I predate you on pushing through the policy.
John, I'm not going to battle you on age or experience like that.
I was told on the last local plan that if you think Mersey is special, it isn't. And that was by the senior planner involved that completely ruled out any consideration. And you've done a good job with the caravan policy because, and the last thing, they said, well, all the caravans in the Colchester would be treated the same. And we've got a special policy for Mersey Island.
Biggest issue we always face that we are the only coastal area. All the money goes to the urban area of Colchester, and we're almost an afterthought. And it's not just planning, it's everything, as you know.
Yeah, sorry, Bob.
Oh, shall we?
Yeah.
Thank you, Martin. Carl? You on call? The only thing, apart from Martin, was with the water, with the officers. I've been speaking to the officers and they've been doing quite a lot in the background. I'll go to a meeting with senior officers quite soon with more of updates that was carrying on there, looking with the help, the definitive map, which I believe when was at the last forum Nigel had about, of who owns what on the Mersey Sea. The problem is Mersey is very complicated.
Yeah.
Sections run by Colchester, some run by Mersey, there's private.
Yeah.
Where the private houses are at the front, each one of them owns a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Crown Estate owns a huge amount of it. When it moves over towards Cooper's and past Waldegrave, it gets even more complicated because the Crown Estate doesn't actually own all the water there. That, some of that's owned by Colchester. It is incredibly complicated. The map and definitive is actually moving on and progressing reasonably well. They're now trying to tie up the last bits on it. And we are looking, or Colchester is looking at working with partners, which we'll talk about later in this evening, with Mersey Council, as well as, say, the holiday parks, of actually getting a risk assessment done of the entire beach from Dabchicks up to, at the moment, the end of Waldegraves. If Essex County Council are willing to come on board, they could extend it right up to Cudmore Grove.
Mm-hmm.
But the hope of it is, it, during the community interest, is that hopefully the councils and certain will get the report completely done to get the definitive and the input of the RNLI and Coast Guard, which is important, as well as the Crown Estate. It is important to get that and take on a board, once again, a member of the public, hope Ian doesn't mind me more. Mentioning who's actually input in there, it's all being considered, looked at. It has been going on for some time, and I do agree, it's been going on a long time. But we are moving forward, and hopefully answers will be coming out quite soon on that. That's the way it's progressing.
Good.
Thank you, Carl. If there's no other comments, we'll move on to the minutes of the council meeting on the 23rd of July. Have councillors read for the minutes of 23rd of July?
Yeah.
Do we have a proposer to accept those minutes?
No proposal, please.
Councillor Boyland, seconded by...
Me, that's about
it. Beat you to it, Carl.
I don't know.
I'll be all in favour. To agree and approve a list of payments. Everyone's seen the list of payments here. We need a non-signatory to the bank accounts to sign those off. It's also been drawn to our attention by our internal auditor that we need to record the fact that the bank statements have also been signed off as correct, and that's been done. So I think we've just recorded that so that we've covered that for the internal auditor. Thank you. Moving on to 204, to provide an update from committees that have held since the last council meeting. Have we got any?
No, there's been no meeting of the personnel or planning, since the last council meeting. There's a planning meeting due Monday week.
Finance hasn't met either.
Environment's
not met. And assets not met. No. That's going to be early September,
first,
isn't it?
First, okay. Yeah.
It's a strange time, isn't it, now?
Mm.
As Chair of Finance, we haven't met, but I want to just talk very briefly about the budget comparison report, which is always circulated each month, and everybody reads it. But again, the internal auditors has made the point that we just need to acknowledge that we've read the internal budget comparison report and that no one has any comments.
Yeah.
There was a follow-up email sent from our RFO talking about the eagle-eyed amongst us. So it is important that we do read these reports because they do actually control the council's activities. Don't we've got any comments on the report? Okay. I'll just denote that then. Working groups? Any working groups met?
I've got the working group. I'll give the report later on.
Later on. Sophie's met, of course.
No,
yes,
met.
We had a good meeting and I'll report because we have an
item. It's also on the agenda.
Yeah.
Basing Roths, no.
Representative next.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting with from Essex County Council to emails I've applied for and very cold at any updates because I've heard nothing regarding the buses and that particular.
You're very sick at it, are they?
No.
Thank you.
I'm still pushing.
Yep. It's a funny time of year, isn't it?
Yeah.
To move on to 205, to report the town clerk's report.
Okay, we only had the council meeting 3 weeks ago, so some few quick updates. The hand dryers and the emergency red pool calls are now being installed in really many central toilets. The installation seems to be going on forever. The new play equipment was from Thursday.
Yeah.
It's now scheduled for the 24th of August. Yeah, hopefully it will be done. The urinal installation of Coast Road has been completed. That was ongoing today, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
Gardener, there's continued planting across council-owned areas, but of course it's difficult this time with the hot weather in terms of watering and keeping them going. Priority one trees that were identified in the recent survey have now been felled in West Mersey Park, and they were all trees that were dead trees, and we were advised in our survey to actually remove.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you'd agree that we wouldn't remove trees if it wasn't necessary. We weren't advised by the report. A healthy tree, approximately 8 inches in diameter, was deliberately cut down in Raymead Wood, and this incident has been reported to the police as antisocial behaviour, unfortunately. And I've been completing lots of health and safety documentation, risk assessments for Rushmere and the council offices. The Glebe has been formally noted of its requirement to complete its own fire risk assessment from the premises. And I've been told by the chair of MISA that's something that they're going to action and look into. The groundsman has successfully completed his chair and serve qualification, and he's also completed a basic tree survey course, which we're hoping it's going to be prove beneficial because we have lots of trees in West Mersey. So rather than having to use outside agencies, we can use our own groundsmen to assess trees if there's dangers involved. That's really the, it's not too much to report this time.
Thank you. Do you have any questions for our clerk?
I've just got one. On red squirrels. Would you like to say a little thing about what's happened as far as the tree removal is concerned?
You may be more accurate.
I haven't got any up-to-date information. What happened here was there was a proposal, I think, on Tuesday of this week.
Tuesday. Tuesday, the contractors were down at the site. Work was stopped because they said they were working from the bottom and working upwards. And I said as they were making their way upwards, they found a nest in, is it wood pigeons?
Wood pigeons.
So they stopped all their works, which is part of their policy. They've now gone back to review with their insurers, and they will be in contact with us in terms of what happens in the next step.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 206, to review and agree the following documents and policies. There's quite a few of them. Everyone's read through them. Has anyone got any comments on any specific policies?
Only a minor one on the grant. What it's called, grant awarding policy, which just needs to be updated for the current year, 26-27, in the wording. I've got it here if you want to have a look. I've just highlighted what needs to be done.
Okay.
It's just the figures for the section, what's it?
137.
137.
Oh, yes.
Updated for this year, which had 50 pence more than it was last year, and it needs to be changed to 26-27 rather than
25-26.
Okay. And whilst we're on that one, I've got an additional point. It talks about the spending limit for 137, which we've now corrected. But I think we need to say in there that this council currently holds a general power of competence, which is important because it's got quite wide-ranging implications.
I suppose it could just be amended to say that section 137 is that amount. Additionally, we have overriding powers under the general power of competence to award any sums that we...
It's got some lovely wording, which I can't quite remember. Something about any right-minded person...
No, any individual can do.
Yeah, any individual.
The council can do anything that an individual would do.
Hasn't
as long
he got
as it's
lovely, right-minded individual?
As long as it's lawful.
As long as it's lawful. We are happy to just correct it, just to bring it up to date.
Chair, can we bump all these as one group?
Well, I've just got a couple more.
Okay.
Sorry. On that same policy, these guidelines aren't lifted, but that's not is it elite. I know it's been a bit pedantic, but we might as well get it right.
Oh, and then there it also says match funding rather than matched funding.
Yeah, I think it does, doesn't it?
I don't know where it is now. That just needs to be corrected.
Matched.
But it said that for
a
Loan working policy, I didn't have a problem with. Meeting protocols. There's one of them mentioned the parish council, and it should be town council.
So, Mr. Chair, can I propose we take them all on block with those amendments and possibly do a grammar check through the policies to bring them up to date?
Sorry.
I will propose that with the amendments made by you and Councillor.
Yeah, I was also going to say, additionally, make sure that all the dates are correct, because some have been amended to 26 and some are still
I'm sure they will. So I propose we take all of them on block.
With the things we've
done. That's what I saw. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll say.
So we've got proposer, Howling, seconder, I think it sounds like we're all in agreement, aren't we? Thank you for reading those through. They can be a bit tiresome at times. I did have an agenda here somewhere. As I get my short sight corrected, I should be a lot happier. Right, what's on the agenda next? You taking the mickey?
No. 207.
To agree to add the RFO as a signatory to the Hinckley and Rugby Building Society Local Council deposit account. Seconded. Councillor Powling. Seconded Councillor Hinterwell.
Yeah.
All in favour?
Yes. Just for information, I now have access online to that.
Yes, I saw that.
Have you?
You might have to guide me through it because it kicks me out every time. Moving on to 208. I've been quite amused by the exchange of emails on this one.
I got it right eventually.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm still unclear about the. But anyway, carry on.
Let's read this one out for the benefit of tape. To review and agree the approach to updating the West Mersey Town Council website, either by continuing with the existing contractor or commissioning a replacement website to ensure full compliance with accessibility requirements as set out under Assertion 10 of the Annual Governance and Accountability Return of the North West under AGAR. Now here the options are not quite clear, but option A, as listed on here, is the whole new website, which will cost £2,400 per annum, I think it actually says, which seems a tremendous amount of money to me. Option B, I'm not sure what happened to that, but options...
updating the website, changing it as well.
Okay, and option C is to use our current website provider, who has prepared a list of changes that will make us compliant with, I think it says compliant, doesn't it, with this section 10. Anyone any comments?
No, as I understand it, in Kirsty's report, she's given two options, update the existing website or commission a replacement website.
Yeah.
I'm not unsure of the cost of each option, but it seems that the updating the existing website is the recommended option due to the fact that it won't disrupt what we've got and it's cheapest.
And compliant.
And hopefully compliant.
Hopefully compliant.
But
I don't think you can get any website that's completely...
No, you can't.
The spec was... The same spec was given to each of the three who quoted.
Yeah.
Can you clarify what the quote was from our current provider?
The quote from our current provider was, well, when you put all three together, was £400 plus that and the three options that he was offering.
A bargain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he would also provide the service, and he said he's quite happy to do training with us for minimal cost.
We're familiar with him and familiar with us. Yes.
He has been updating the website ever since we went with... Well, we've always been with the same people.
He also uploads...
because the rules keep changing and so forth. So a couple more changes, or three more changes, I think it is. So do we have a proposal?
We've got the option C, the current provider.
Option C, yes, listed on the agenda.
Well, it's not C, but go with the current provider.
To go with the current provider.
It's
on the agenda, is option C.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. It's not already option C.
Yeah. Okay.
Proposed by Carl.
Yeah.
Seconded by Sophie. Are we all in favour of that?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Right.
Okay.
209, to agree payment of solicitor fees relating to the tennis court and pavilion lease, this is the tennis club, covering professional charges incurred between 27th February 2006 and the 8th of August 2006, and a cost of £1,555 plus VAT. And we now have what we believe is the definitive lease that we are not going to be changing. However, it has not been accepted by the tennis club yet.
Well, we've got to pay the solicitors bill. So there's no question on this. I propose it.
Seconded by Councillor Boyle. All in favour? Thank you very much.
Congratulating you doing your hard work so far.
We may have a new bill, though, in due course.
Well, we're not moving.
We're not moving.
So the alternative will be quite... To agree a purchase to purchase a new chainsaw at a cost of £755.
All right, this is a request that was put forward from the groundsman. Previously, they'd always had two chainsaws. They said that they're very temperamental pieces of equipment, and it would be useful for them to have another chainsaw. Now that Tom's passed his tree survey, of course, they're hoping that a lot of the work that they'd be able to do themselves rather than finding services or someone else. So that was the background really to it. There had always been two.
Were you saying that they are now qualified to make these decisions?
Not qualified to just chop down a tree, but to make minor adjustments.
Yeah.
Tommy is.
Okay. Do we need to?
I suppose.
I can only go
the,
what they've asked
the
me.
State of the one they've got, is that serviceable or completely serviceable? Or would a new one be necessary because the one they've got in that? I don't know. But to me, I'd agree to it because.
It was a question put through by both groundsmen.
I find it hard to believe they're both using the chainsaw at the same time. Yeah. But
I don't think it's because they're using it at the same time. I said often when they need, that's the explanation that's given to me, that they're very temperamental pieces of machinery, and sometimes when they need them, they can't operate them, and blades have to be changed, and it's difficult.
Can I ask, is this a petrol or a battery?
I don't know.
I
would actually, because they're not tree surgeons, I would possibly suggest that they go to professional battery, the chainsaws that they produce, like for example steel, which is mostly that chainsaw will be a steel. The battery ones are phenomenal, they don't pollute as such. And they you can get all sort of hedge cutters, everything that go with the battery sets. And they're very, and they're not like petrol, won't get clogged and blocked up. It was literally a battery engine. If it's the professional version from them, I just a question. I'm assuming that would be the petrol. It may be worth looking at battery. We go for a single. It might be worth going towards a battery version.
Unless this is not an emergency thing.
No,
perhaps
we can
use.
Would you like me to defer?
Just defer this and get a quote for what Carl suggests.
Because some of the tree surgeons I know, if it's trimming branches and that, because they haven't got to keep doing this, it's just pull the trigger with the safety guards, it's a lot quicker and easier. Cutting trees, they mostly will want if they're going to take that, but then we get contractors in to do that.
They charge you about that big anyway.
But why do we want two?
Apart from that, I'm sure they could sort their servicing around when they're actually needing to do this sort of work. You know, it's, it just seems strange.
I think there have been a couple of situations where they've been in a situation where they've needed to use it, and so I don't think it's a piece of machine that they're using on a daily basis. And then it's been temporary and they haven't been able to, and then it has to go to the service and they're not able to sort out the damage.
So I believe a battery version would be a lot better because it doesn't have that, because it will just work as long as the battery's charged. It's not like the petrol ones that get clogged up. It might be worth looking up, so actually looking into that.
Let's do that.
Can we
just bring it back?
Agree on a budget to purchase?
No idea whether they're more expensive than petrol.
Well, not
well
really.
Initially, the chainsaw itself would be possibly cheaper. It's just that you will have to initially buy the battery and the charging to go with
it. Well, one battery will come with it, presumably.
It will come with that, but you might want to get a second one if they're workers, they've got a spare. So it'd be worth looking into it. And I know to get the initial costs, wherever they got that price, that chainsaw, you have to get the same man as those or grasshoppers, whoever. It'd be worth looking into because they can get different pieces of equipment that the batteries will fit in as well.
Can I suggest it goes, we get the price and we put it on your agenda, which is before.
Well, let me talk to them first, because if it's not something that they need,
I'd want a bit more information.
I was the same as you when I read it. I thought, do we really need two?
One good service for them.
One that works at night.
Perhaps we can bring it to the assets.
Why don't I defer and then investigate with you and ask? Because if they're not interested in, or they don't need the alternative.
But you can put it on the assets.
So have I got someone to propose?
Defer that to the assets committee.
And investigate to the to consider and agree the quotation for repair works to the two existing sites at the skate park comprising installing a rubber mulch, rebuilding MOT type 1 stone and cup and compliant resin bonded as they have been doing before, which I think has worked, hasn't it?
I couldn't understand why these corners haven't been done. They've done two
corners. At the time, the quote was only for two of them, and they took the most serious ones.
I looked at them and I thought, I can't work out whether they've done
When I went back to them and I asked the same question, and they said that when we looked at the quote originally, it was quoted just for the two.
Mm.
On the invoice it says four, but that's for the 4 metres that
right.
they've brought it up.
Can I ask if you have a look on when you walk from Oyster Close to that, it's already been worn out. There's a patch that's been worn down.
They're sending through a resin base that we can use to repair.
Although they're just pointing out that it's already been worn in the section.
It's an ongoing thing. That's why we had difficulties getting anybody who would actually quote for it, because once the repairs are in, it's not something that you repair and then it's fixed.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing maintenance programme. So it depends whether you wanted the second side to be similar or less.
I've got one other comment as well, whereas since the repair's been done from the skate park people, I can assure you it's definitely not me on a skateboard doing it. But apparently the skaters are saying it's dangerous, the repair.
I told you that.
On someone else as well, on the grounds that as the skateboards come off the smooth concrete, it slows down very quickly, so it can actually throw people off, which is, you wouldn't consider that.
Well, we've had the rest of our report since then, they didn't bring it up.
No, all I'm just saying, but this isn't, I'm not saying it, especially it's fine, you can still, but they actually show, I know Heidi did mention it as well, but it's going to show you've been on it and you can see it. Very slightly, but when you've got professional...
Sorry, can I just interrupt on that one? It's a lag on there, because you've got a different ground on it. One is smooth and one not, so that's what it is.
But then again, what was there before would have been grass, so it would be slightly irrelevant, but it was just a comment, because they now... I think that's why it's getting warm, because people are trying to use that as well as part of the skate park, which in theory it's not.
I cannot win with these skate parks.
But there you go. I was only going to just to say it might be why it's warm, because they're trying to use it as well.
it's been highlighted again in the Rossborough report.
Those two, they always highlight it.
It was highlighted as in the Rossborough report, it was a risk medium level, and in the quarterly report, it was a high risk red level.
I mean, the corners are quite. Still sharp there, aren't they? I mean, where that earth's gone, that top
right hand picture, if I stand next to that, it comes up to there.
Yeah,
so that's quite high.
Well, that's my opinion on it. Everywhere I look, skate park's got exactly the same problem. No one has solved it.
No.
This is an attempt to solve it, and that seems to have got its drawbacks as well.
It's going to be an ongoing.
Having said that, maybe we should just get it done.
Or arguably just build the ground up as was on a regular
basis.
But if the repair is not going to work,
I think if the repair is not going to work, it's got a small patch in it, the patch is worn, it's only about that big, it's quite small, but if we can repair it, I think there's a budget for it. I do have a let's decide if we're going to do it first, and then I'll come on to how we might pay for it. Do we have a proposal seconder to actually get the thing?
Are we all in favour
with moving forward and fixing these two?
Yeah, I'll just question the original quote. It's just because we've got no alternative quotes, it's just the original quote, because
they're all risky repairs. The term four you said related to,
it's to do with 4 metres.
There isn't 4 metres, so that just doesn't.
Well, it wasn't both sides. Well, whether it's 4 metres, it wasn't four.
No.
It was to do with the incline or just four paths. It wasn't four sides.
No.
He said that they quoted just for the two most severe ones. Outlined on the Rossborough report.
I'm not surprised, because it was a very competitive quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's half the price of the others.
Okay.
Um,
the, um,
So are we prepared to second getting the work done? And are we prepared to all approve getting the work done?
I think we just did.
Let's move on to how we pay for it. We do have the budget for it. However, we had a notification come through that £6,000 is available on the Section 106 for a new build, or whatever it was, in Mersey. But I've never seen one of these before. We get the monthly reports, don't we?
Yeah.
Can we apply for some Section 106 money to pay for this urgent repair?
Yeah. And of course, we've got, I have identified potential 106 money, and Karen Sire has already promised 25,000 odd, which we haven't collected yet.
No, but that's for the, yes, that's true, but that's for the children's.
Well, no, but 5,000 of that was historical from Glebe 2.
Well, yes. Well, let's have what she's promised us.
And yeah, well, that's 20 and 5,000 odd.
I think he's got that earmarked for something.
Always earmarked. Section 106, will that cover repairs to skate parks? Carl, do you know the answer to this one?
Yeah, you have to ask.
Yeah.
Jack. Unfortunately, Section 106 is not meant to carry out maintenance.
I know.
It's meant to do for improvements to offset the development. The development down the is a massive house being built down the lane. That's what that release is for. If you see it, it's huge.
Well, I suggest
you could ask in a way that may assist.
So we'd ask.
It's worth asking.
Okay, thank you. I think that's clears that one, doesn't it? Right, to receive a summary of the completed public consultation feedback forms regarding the proposed multi-use community building at the Glebe.
Have I
missed one?
Yeah, they are. Right.
At the Glebe, and to consider and agree whether, subject to the outcome of the public consultation, the council wishes to proceed with phase one of the rebuild project. Everybody read the
report?
Yeah. Observations on it?
A bit like parking.
Well, yes, obviously the main complaint is parking, but that isn't really relevant to this new build because this is really a replacement for what's there, and there won't be any more matches, so therefore no extra traffic.
Yeah.
But of course, the parking situation needs to be addressed in parallel.
But as you say,
because this is for the council, isn't it, to agree to move forward the project, to finalise the actual plans and moving forward.
Yeah, well, I'm just moving forward to the next step.
The next step. So
it's a big decision, this one.
It is a big decision in the court of public opinion. Unfortunately, the parking issue did colour that meeting. Mm-hmm. And people will say until that parking situation is resolved, they don't really want to entertain what is going to be up there.
But it will make absolutely no difference.
I know.
And of course, the parking situation won't ever be resolved.
No, it won't be.
And, you know, if we, well, we can't put off the project until the parking's resolved, because that's, the timescale could be 2 or 3 years before that parking situation is resolved, if ever, because the residents may never be happy with anything that's proposed.
Mm-hmm. Within that time, 106 timer will stop and it.
Yes, it will. So, we're up against time limits.
Yeah, we have to address those, don't we?
But you have to address both in parallel.
I think we do.
Not one, not in series.
So they are related, but they're actually, it's got, whether we put the building or not, it's not going to change the parking.
And we need to be shown, I think, seriously, that we've taken on board what was said at that meeting.
Yeah.
Because that probably was only the tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
Because when the leaflet went down around there were lots of people saying comments about the parking.
Okay. I know we only have 20 replies, though.
I know.
And there were 50 or 60
and
people.
And how many thousand leaflets put around?
Yeah.
Exactly. Every household, it was in the papers.
No, I agree. I think we should now look moving forward. We've got building was done that, to see what stages to move forward with it. Because then we can discuss that within there about the parking and possibly now, possibly maybe the location, because the parking one is highlighted, it may be worth looking at CL1 for a total build. It could do. But it's cost, because if it's total fresh ground, it saves a lot of, should we say, prelims when it comes to housing, which I know the club said they would support, but it would still save if you don't have to put 10 pre in. But it's worth, but yeah, I possibly we should now move forward with that, with phase one to start getting it.
Well, the preliminary steps, yes.
Which the preliminary step is really to appoint a project
and a business plan.
Yes,
And a business plan.
And a business plan, which is all part of it, because yeah, they will give us the draft template.
This is not a decision to actually go ahead and build it. This is a decision to start the preliminary stages.
Yeah, so we could still discuss a location.
Yes.
Potentially after we've agreed this. Yeah.
But this is.
But the point is, Bob, that when you put forward the fact that, you know, we had thought this through, it was, people didn't believe you.
No. Well, everybody around this table will recognise this drawing. Do you want to pass it around?
Yeah.
But just to refresh our mind, I talked at some length, and no one was listening, that we had purchased a piece of land, which I called CL2, which is CL2,
yeah.
Which is Community Land 2.
Yeah, adjacent to Community 2.
Adjacent to the rugby pitches on Community 2. It's an acre. I did say the Tech 200 cars, it's probably the 200 cars. So. Everybody has seen this, haven't they?
Yeah.
And, then, and this is not new, we've discussed this
quite
a lot. So its plan has always been use CL2 as an overflow car park for the Glebe. The land we have given, we said that we will take it for the cost of £1,
yeah.
Which as far as I know has been accepted by Mersey Homes. I think we should address the parking as a separate issue.
Separate or conjoined, Bob?
Well,
in parallel.
In parallel, because as Nigel says, the new build or no new build is actually no difference.
No.
The pitches say the same. There's no new pitches involved here, so there won't be more games.
No.
No.
The way I saw it, Bob, was it's twin track. You know, the development goes ahead with all that, but another track is the question of how we
maximise
the way that we can look at parking.
Okay. Well, it was suggested that we involve NEP in this.
Yes, okay.
Now, we have discussed this with NEP before, yeah. And with the residents of Garden Farm. And we have discussed before residents' parking permits,
yeah,
which they
yeah.
don't want. We have discussed yellow lines, which they don't want. And we have discussed, and not we haven't actually discussed, match day and event parking zones, as we see around all sorts of stadiums. I think Caltrans have got them, John, haven't they?
I have.
Spurs, where I used to go,
yeah,
certainly got them.
They certainly have.
And they're not uncommon. And now, whether that will solve the problem, I don't know. I'm sure that CL2 will solve the problem.
Okay.
It's whether we want a separate meeting with the Garden Farm residents, with NEP, to run through the options. And to show them, because they won't have seen this if we didn't put it up on the screen, to show them that we've already set aside land to take the car park service.
Just for...
Okay.
No, sorry, I was just going to say, in order to get people to use CL2, it's got to be attractive for them to come park there.
Well,
rather than overflow, parking over there and then walking all the way back.
I had floated the idea with Spencer, and he actually repeated it at the meeting. You might not have heard it. But he said that the home teams will all park in CL2, and the away teams, because they'll gravitate to the Glebe, will park in the Glebe car park.
Okay. Who would park in the Glebe?
The visiting teams.
And he also made the point that the junior football players don't use the pavilion, yeah. And so the parents transporting their children to those matches would favour parking in CL2 because the pitches are just
adjacent to it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I believe the rearranging of the pitches slightly would be attractive to the football clubs. Because I think that, you know, they've got, I've had a look at what they've got. They've got one full size, sort of one 3/4 and one small one. But we're taking out the bicumps, aren't we? Which will actually, would enable repositioning.
I don't think you can use the bicumps for pitches because originally that area was meant to be informal grassland. It's for biodiversity purposes all the way around, and 50% of it's already been removed. So
50%. Oh, right.
Of the original amount of informal grassland,
yeah,
that was planned.
Unless
it's replaced somewhere else.
Yeah, but even so, there would be enough room there for two full-size pitches.
Not without reducing the biodiversity of the area. So that's something for environmental committee as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can just take away areas that are put aside for biodiversity purposes just for sport, because that destroys the original purpose.
I agree and disagree, because I think not with the biodiversity side of it, but the room that is available.
Well, of course, you can put pitches, cut the trees down, and put pitches.
No. I'm not talking about cutting trees.
But the biodiversity of the surrounding is important.
Yeah.
50% of it has already been taken away, which you won't be aware of.
No. But I'm just talking about what is already there. Sure.
Yes, I'm
really interested in this conversation because it shows to me that any meeting with the residents would have to be really, really well prepared for, because we probably only will get one take on this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about how we can take people with us. And what I have in mind here is that the first group that need to be involved with this, not only because they're participants, but because it can't work without them. That's the sports clubs. So what I'm thinking of, Bob, is that we have a meeting with the sports club and discuss, go through all the issues, right? Then we have a meeting, when we've got that clear, with the residents, yeah? Because there are some aspects of this, although we've got the generalised people parking across driveway, there was a lot of other stuff which I know hadn't come out because I've had talks up there with the sport, with the residents. We involve them in the second stage with the sports club, and then we go to NEP. Because if we go to NEP, first of all, I think NEP will throw up their hands and say this is completely unmanageable. That was my experience with NEP.
Do we agree with that?
NEP? They put enforcements down and enforce them. They, to be honest, you jump and waiting for you. Any of you here, it's pointless. There's been a lot of offers given to Garden Farm over the years on how to try and resolve it, and they've turned most of them down. I think one of the better options now is, like you say, on match days, restrictions would come in for them. But you are also quite correct on the same as Councillor Boylan, CL2, which I think has been changed to CL1 now, but that will help resolve a lot of those issues. But Mersey has got a problem with parking everywhere.
It is not just there.
Now, NEP can sort of, if the residents remember that the residents request it and support it, NEP will do it.
Yeah.
But if you, which we've had many times on the island, whereas the residents stated they wanted it, so when the letters then go round to them explaining what's happened, all of a sudden their 90% support has suddenly dropped down to 50, and then have wasted a lot of money doing that on the protocols. So if the residents really want it, NEP would be willing to do that. There's something down, doing a couple of things on the island already with NEP for that.
I was at a consultation and, you know, we all witnessed the same thing about parking issues. A lot of what was being said is why residents in garden farm and those sort of areas, and it seems to me that a lot of the issues are because there are various access points along the way that if you park in garden farm and some of those other places, you can access the glebe.
Yeah,
so maybe we need to look at where those access points are and cut them off, because then it's not so attractive to park. Because they can't just nip through.
I don't think you can do that because it's public access. It's like you cannot do that. You'd have to do a lot of permissions and get grants to move access. I know exactly where they are.
Yeah.
One of them is in Garden Farm, near where the pavilion is.
Yeah.
One of the main walkways is straight there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know how you ever stop that sort of park.
Well, you can't cut them off because it's a throughway to, Colchester Road and all sorts of things. And it's,
The approach is maybe to move forward the plans, get to see what can be done, come up with proposals, and speak to the residents if the parking situation is really, and then speak to the residents, this is what can be done on match days, which I think would be more favourable than putting the lines in.
It does have a drawback because the residents have to apply for permits for them to be able to park.
Yeah.
Only on the road. But if they're in their own drives, which they all have drives there, they don't have that issue. But if they have guests that weekend, then yes, they will.
And they won't want to do that, I suspect.
That was their complaint, wasn't it, though? We don't want to pay for visitors' permits.
But what Carl has put forward is very much on the lines which I suggested, right? But the first stage is to sort it out with the sports club. The second stage is to get the residents in consultation. And then move on to next.
Okay, well, we can certainly meet with MISA, but I think they've already agreed that home teams will park on CL2.
Okay, well, let's have that in print.
But once again, I believe, like Councillor Hinderwell said, is getting the preliminaries off of the ground for the building, the business plans will come up with how they propose to do this with parking.
Yeah,
it will come within that. Because we could talk here all night about parking issues on the island. We end up going down Cove Road. Yes,
we go
anywhere. So I think maybe it is like, so move forward with preliminary, start seeing somewhere, then get this business plan brought together and how we can resolve or try to resolve. We're never going to stop everything. And if you remember what NEP has always said, everything you do has a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put something there, it pushes it somewhere else. So it does need thought.
But in this particular case, there is somewhere else to go to.
It would be the CL.
Yes,
if it gets done, but we are aware that to put that down as a reasonable car park could cost six feet or something.
So I want to formally move, Bob, that we have, first thing is to talk with MISA.
Well, the agenda item is clear. Let's deal with the agenda item first, shall we? To consider and agree whether, subject to the outcome of the public consultation, the council wishes to proceed with phase one rebuild. So, do we wish to proceed with it, or do we not wish to proceed with it? Do we have a proposal, one way or the other?
Well, I'll propose that we proceed, because got to move to the next stage.
We haven't got any choice anyway,
because
the building's going to fall down.
Well, we're going to run out of time.
Yeah, we're going to run out of time.
I'll second Councillor Boylan's proposal.
So are we all in favour that we do proceed with this rebuild project?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all in favour. Okay. That's not on the agenda, but we do need to address the parking. Are we all happy to just come to some conclusion over this?
I don't think we could.
We can't do it tonight. As Councillor Acker said, his proposal was to meet with the residents and the sports club.
Sports club first.
Whichever way around we do it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Meet with them as soon as possible and see if there is some
common
denominator solution that they are happy with. I don't know what they're saying, but.
I think it should be put within the business plan put forward.
But it will be in the business plan anyway.
I think it will be discussed anyway.
I think we need to make preliminary talks with the residents and MISA.
I'm not happy about leaving it with the business plan because I think this needs to be taken head on.
yes,
as far as with residents are concerned. And they need to be seen, we need to be seen treating it seriously.
They need to be included at the beginning.
So, a separate thing with the sports clubs and then the residents is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not an agenda item, but can we agree around this table?
Noted.
It's a noted.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll meet with MISA.
Yeah, thank you.
And then we will meet in some form or another with residents, with or without NEP.
Yeah.
The problem, you may only get a few residents talking to you and the others will have a different opinion.
Well, they will. I mean, there was a residence parking scheme down York Road, wasn't there? And then somebody said, I don't agree with this, after it had all been installed, but it had to go ahead anyway.
So are you going to meet with NEP after, or is it just the MISA and the residents?
And then the NEP.
Who would do that? Is it the MISA reps who meet with MISA, or is it under a different group heading? Or
I think they should meet, well, with the clerk present, whoever wishes to talk to them, John or someone.
I'm very happy, but I think it should be a small group.
Yeah.
And one that can actually listen, and I'm not saying you can't listen. But you know, one that can actually empathise with
Dave,
it.
Because you're a.
So the MISA reps are. Dave, you're a MISA rep,
I am as well, but I don't think they know that.
No.
They soon will.
Because we decide to be reps, but I don't know that the relevant organisation is ever informed of who the reps
are. Who's the third rep?
Teresa.
Yeah, because you wanted to carry on your.
Teresa, Nigel, and.
Me.
But
I'd be very happy because having been the chair of the working party on car parking before, I'd like to.
John's more diplomatic than someone else.
I don't think it's worth your
that's an insult, I think.
Can we decide that outside the speaker? Because it's not an agenda item, but if we're happy that that's the general approach, are we happy that's a general approach?
Very happy with that.
And we'll note that as a note rather than as a decision.
And we should say publicly that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that's fine. It'll be in these minutes anyway, won't it? Right, 213 then. Review and agree to undertake a comprehensive water safety risk assessment for West Mersey Town Council owned beaches, I think it is plural, together with a corresponding risk assessment relating to the potential deployment of council owned bathing rafts. I think things have moved on a bit, haven't they, Carl, with Colchester?
Well, what I'm pushing for is a comprehensive risk assessment of the entire beach. It seems all these little bits being done, this is my bit. So what I've asked senior officers, which they're looking to do, is to do, like I say, from Dadchiefs fully up to Walder Graves, hopefully getting support from the caravan parks. These risk assessments, they are getting costs for the whole thing.
Yep.
And if county agree to do the youth camp up to Cudmore Grove, that can be incorporated, but hopefully we get funding from them. So basically, to do the assessment, but we get a full assessment of our entire beach, because the different sections of where different incidents happen, they've got, so we can point it out. So hopefully that will work alongside the map of who owns what as well. Even though the whole beach is being done, it can still be, the assessment can be done in sections down the beach so we can see where those risks are.
It's important, I think, that all the owners, especially on Shingle Point and other places where there are no risks.
But as a council, as both say, Mersey's a predominant factor in the water forum, we should get the whole thing done. I think the caravan parks will. I think they've now got a duty of care of themselves anyway. Private landowners might be more interested, but if highlights come up on the report that they have to do, it will be their responsibility. So hopefully maybe we could get, once we see what the total cost is, we will bring it before this council to decide how we can afford it.
I think the agenda item is basically, are we happy that one is undertaken? Now it may be us independently, but it sounds like it could be the whole beat, would you? Which would be preferable.
To do little independent ones, it doesn't give an indication of the beach. We know where the bad parts are, like down on the spit, down by the houseboats.
Yeah.
We need to really get a definitive, especially for different signages that go around as well.
Nigel, you want to come
in? I was going to say that the only problem with that, of course, is then getting particular landowners to implement the recommendations of the report.
And what it is, I've discussed that. The point is, once the report is done, it's like any health and safety report, or whatever report it is, it will indicate the areas.
Yeah.
As long as Mersey Town Council, Colchester City Council, the parts, whoever, implement the recommendations. The point is, if something was to go wrong, I know it sounds a bit point, but if it goes on there, this report was done and it indicates, we could still, because it will go on for public record anyway, so those can actually see what's got to be, could have to be done. Nothing might come back that needs to be done, but at least we get a whole idea rather than these blank bits where we're not too sure, because you don't have to talk where the tank traps are, etc., with the Crown Estates, etc. So I think this report will actually give a whole indication of possibly the south side of the island's beaches.
And will give us a definitive answer on rafts as well.
I believe that's a separate bit to it, really, isn't it? The rafts are a separate topic.
We can ask the report to actually consider that.
Well, within the same report, but it is a separate assessment as such.
It will be, but hopefully it will be considered with that on the section of beaches where they could be deployed to see that report that was indicated earlier.
Well, I mean, can we propose that we do cooperate with the Waterside Committee in producing, in doing our bit to produce a bird's
Well, I think that's what this is.
With
I mean, this is a point I wanted to make. Carl, you're proposing that West Mersey does this.
I'm proposing that the City Council does it.
Okay.
But because of the Water Forum and its history, has always been a full part of the Colchester when it comes to our waterfront, that we possibly contribute towards it as well. But what we're hoping for is that the Sea View Caravan Park, for example, Wilder Graves, will also contribute towards it.
Yeah.
So in other words, it's cost gets split. The issues come with the private individual house owners that go down. If, for example, they say, well, we're not going to do that section, I think as a matter of community interest and safety as councillors, we should do the whole thing. At least we can see where the issues are.
But the report will go to the Waterside Committee? Or?
The report will be done by Colchester, but the Waterside and this council, once again, this is the point, but being a key partner in this, it will come to both. Us as well.
Okay.
This is the important part.
Especially
what the
as we're contributing, hopefully contributing to the cost.
Cost, you will be, some there, but we will see how the split goes.
So
I have requested a cost.
Each party involved must contribute. Colchester will, hopefully the holiday parks will, and individual landowners as well, their choices.
But as a right, you will all get to see that report. And my point is, I want to see it, rather than miss bits out because we can't trace somebody. Strangely enough, there are parts of the beach we found that nobody actually does own.
I know that. Yeah.
We can say, right, this entire beach, this is the risk assessment done on that. Because that will then take into account the fact is that in the last report, we've got an RNLI. We've got the Coast Guard. It didn't take into account, we've got responders on the island as well, which do have the DFIBs, which would get called out quickly and attend very quickly. So this whole report can take that into consideration.
What is the intention of the Colchester City Council about having a Waterside Committee? Has it got a forum?
The reason it's a forum, that it used to be a committee when Mersey Council ran it. The reason it went from being a committee was to do with the clerk, so it went to, and then Colchester then ran it, but Colchester was the key partner.
But the question is, when will it likely be convened?
It will. Once we get the information, I can call an official meeting, but I want the information before I can call it now.
Okay.
It is down to me, but I'm getting. I want the officers to actually give us so we can have a definitive answer.
Yeah.
We've been given a lot of information. I'd also like to thank a member of the public here who's actually given lots of information. it needs to be compiled so we can sit down and see what's going on. We've also got to remember, I might be corrected by Martin, it's not devolution, it's the
reorganisation
of the Colchester. Colchester offices, well, are also in a lot of discussion at the moment with tendering, who do have these safety offices. And it's quite interesting, some of the discussions going on. And it might need to be uniformed in a way, because if the council's tendering Colchester become one, which could happen fairly quickly now. But this is all going on now, it is progressing on, the maps are going on. I am pushing to get the entire report done rather than sections.
So I think tonight all we need to do is to agree that we will
participate
in this and participate in the cost of it. That's all we need to do tonight.
That's exactly right.
So have you got a proposal for that?
Yeah. John.
John. Yeah. Seconded by Nigel. Are we all in favour of that as an approach?
Mm. I will abstain on this one. I totally agree, but I don't know if I have to stay in
here. You probably do need to abstain anyway, don't
you? Well, yes, I might just put the assessment for the bathing rafts. Do we want to include that in this, or should we do that ourselves, as it will be us who will be deploying the bathing rafts should the report be favourable? Because we'd like, then we own the report, not.
Yeah.
I think we should have a definitive answer on whether it's safe and bathing rafts to be deployed.
I think the report will only report anyway. The report will be done, but I know what you're saying, but within the costings, if it's incorporated, we could get it done as a separate section within that report.
I understand that we could, but I just, rather that we owned the safety report rather than someone else.
But if we're contributing, could we ask for it to be included?
I see what Nigel's saying, have a separate report for that. But if it's incorporated, you can still use that and say, look, in this report, in that section,
because the report will be written, it all depends who commissions it, and the report will be written for who the body that commissions it. That's all I'm saying. So it's like a house survey, it only applies to the person that commissions a survey. It's not valid for someone else.
Well, presumably going to be commissioned by all the landowners at the moment.
Well, if it is jointly commissioned, that's fine.
Well, what we're discussing here today is as a council, I believe you're quite keen on something. Even if we agree to commission this jointly, it covers the whole waterfront anyway, but everyone that's got a vested interest in it, Colchester, West Mersey Town Council, can almost be listed within that. We could ask that on the details of the report when the officers
commissioned
get on it.
Yeah.
When it's commissioned, it will be reported back because we will have some financial commission to it.
And that matter of information, the tank trap, that will be included in this as well?
Yeah, it will be. I've been in discussions, and I know the clerk has been in a lot of discussions with the Crown Estates.
Okay.
And I do believe that the Crown Estates is in the progress of actually getting them removed.
Okay.
Yeah, they're investigating whether licences at the moment for removal of them.
Okay.
And I know the clerk's been working very hard on that. And meetings I'm having with Colchester is to actually have the senior officers and the Crown Estates and have it all in there. Because what we want is the real definitive whose is what. There's so much, we think he owns that, but we don't know who's got that. No, this is what it is. This is the risks. This is our beach.
Okay. Well, to me, it all sounds a very good idea. So we have a proposal from Councillor Acker, we have a seconder, and have we all said we are in favour of it?
Yeah.
Except for Carlos.
I am in abstain. I like to stay, Rick, I am in favour, but I will abstain on the vote being
the chair of the
city.
Okay, thank you. It's an important subject, this one, isn't it?
Obviously that needs to be done quickly, which you've already started.
Yeah, they're actually looking into it as from... they're going to get the cost. So as soon as I do get cost, I'll report back.
Yes. And I think the inquest on the three deaths is also taking place now, this week.
Is it?
So that will probably give some impetus to it as well.
Okay.
And Colchester, for your own record, are actually meeting with Seaview Management soon as well.
Okay, well, I'm sure they'll come on board. I would be surprised if they didn't come on board. Yes. Okay, shall we move on? To consider and agree the request from two families to complete benches to replace existing wooden benches on Coast Road. I'll give you a bit of background to this one. There are a lot of, a good number, I'm not sure how many, 12 or so, wooden benches down Coast Road, starting at the Coast Road compound, which has got two of the new benches in it, which are not wooden. But from that point onward, they are all wooden benches. And two families have asked if they could have the benches the same as Coast Guard compound, because they will last for an indefinite amount of time. I have expressed the view that personally, and we will have to discuss this, personally I would rather they were all wooden benches because it would all match. But the compound is a separate section of the area of land. But there are two families that would like to have the newer long-lasting benches, but they do not look remotely like the wooden benches. So do you want to go around the table and have a view on this? John, do you want to start? You're easy on this one.
I think the whole point we went for the composite ones is they last for a long time, and it was the agreement that when the other ones did go wrong, we would replace them with those benches.
Did we ever say that?
We did go, I remember it, because we ended up drawing a policy and we actually chose the benches we liked.
Which includes wooden benches?
Include wooden, but on the sea one, because of the sea and the composite ones. I'm certainly easy on it, but the composite ones, I think, because they will last a very long time.
Are the residents paying to
replace? Oh, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So we offer them a choice, do we? Because,
well,
as Carl said, we have an approved list.
I mean, I'm not hung up on this one, but I did walk down Coast Road yesterday to see the eclipse. And it's a personal view. I'd rather they all look the same, wouldn't, personally, rather than start dotting a dark brown bench that doesn't look a bit like the wooden one in amongst it. I understand why anyone would want them for longer, but they would last 16 years, 20 years anyway, the wooden ones.
I don't have a view either way. I'm quite happy for composite benches to me, put in there, all wooden ones, whichever the residents choose.
Yeah, I'm happy either's fine with me.
Sorry.
Well, I'm going to propose that we stay with wooden ones, so we're going to have to vote on this one now, if I have a seconder.
I just need to get it clear, though. Presently, do we offer the residents a choice? So we haven't. If we offer them a choice, we can't exclude one or the other.
Yes. I think the idea, I remember the meeting of Bob, the idea was hopefully we'd, because the wooden ones were gradually degraded, that we were eventually going to change them all over to the composite ones, but I can understand your point because those three are in a row.
And in a compound that is fenced off.
Who's the third one? What's the third one? Is that, whose bench is that? Does that still belong to somebody?
Third one.
You said there's two benches are being changed in the compound.
It doesn't say that though, does it?
No, there are two. There are two
existing wooden benches. It doesn't say
there are,
two.
There are two wooden benches that need replacement by existing the existing people would like to replace them, but with a.
And they're next to each other, aren't they? Or?
Well, they're in Coast Road.
Yeah, well, they're not adjacent to each other.
Not in the top hand.
They're odd ones. Okay.
Well, I'd actually let them have the choice if they're not next to each other. I don't see it properly. They wanted the compound ones, to be fair. I'm simply saying if they're the three next to each other in the granny's playpen, but if they're along the bench, I don't.
Well, I'm not sure exactly where they are, but if they had five or six wooden ones on the left and five or six wooden ones on the right, do we really want a composite one in the middle?
I don't think you'd really notice it, because they're not exactly.
Well, I would.
You would now.
I would let them have the choice, but they obviously want composite. Eventually, everyone would choose composite and the wooden ones would be gone, and they would all look the same.
Well, I think I'd be long dead by the time we get
well,
to that
point.
One of those benches
might be yours.
I'm far too tight to want a bench.
Well, can we ask, do you want a wooden one or a composite one?
I want a wooden one. But if it was all gone composite, then I shall want a composite one. Okay, well, this is not a serious subject. We need to make a decision.
Yeah.
I'd let the family choose it. If they're not all three together, they're down there. I'd let the family choose.
I assume the family have already expressed that.
But they want to copy it.
Yeah, so I don't see it.
Just let them have it.
I don't see any reason to deny their request.
Seconded by?
So who proposed?
Well, am I proposing it or proposing it?
No, I think Carl proposed.
Carl
proposed
it, I'll second it.
So I'm not talking to him tomorrow.
I'll second it.
He's seconded. All in favour? I'm against. Okay, let's move on to something more serious. The local plan, John.
I'll be very brief, Chair, if you'll be glad to know. Three aspects that I would like to report on. One was the meeting we had with Karen Sauer, who, for the audience, the public, is the Strategic Growth and Infrastructure Manager. She was the Chief Planner, but now I've got this title. We had a very two-hour meeting the council chamber, and you've got the written report before you, and I'm glad you answer any points on that. The three big issues that came up: us being an island and public transport with the buses. They had a phrase in there that there was good public transport, and I think we shot that particular fox. She was astounded to find out that on school transport that the bus companies left on occasions students on the other side of the street making their own way across, which she said was news to her. I think the transport issue will be changed in the document, that's the sense I got. On healthcare, we said about 2 years since the list closed. It was only supposed to be a temporary measure. It's now 2 years in, and we put forward right comprehensive data on population, age profiles and things like that, which she's got put forward. Water treatment and drainage issues. We said that in the light of what Anglian Water had put in regarding 102 East Road, they should be very well aware of the ways that they're being produced. We discussed in detail issues coming up on caravan policies and East Mersey. I've had talks with East Mersey about some of the noise issues which they experience, and also regarding things like touring sites being converted to static caravans. A lot of detailed points. And the feedback I've had from the planning team is that they felt it was very useful to put forward. But we'll see. Martin's quite absolutely right. We'll see what's in the papers being published in about 7 days' time. One of the major issues was regarding the environment, and there's a letter later, Bob, which I'm asking the council to approve.
Yeah.
The thing is that the Marine Conservation Zone, MCZ, in terms of the research which we've done, is really, really quite unique in terms of the UK applying around here. So they've got to be very careful, Colchester, about how they do it. And I think, with the chair here, that they are going to be under some pressure to see how they're going to react with that. And this is why we've said the working group recommends that a letter goes to Scott, because Karen, when she said it, referred to environmental offset policies. Mm-hmm. Well, the way that developers can get through them and planning authorities, they can say, well, there is a problem with the environment, and we're going to make there's going to be a country park or wetland or some device about how they can address what is obviously a direct impact, a detriment to the local community. Now, in my view, if they're going to go down that path, they first have to sort out an assessment of what has actually occurred. And nowhere in the document is their assessment. So, in a friendly way, and we've got a good relationship with the planning team now, I think, Bob, you to do that, which has been cultivated.
Yes.
I mean, really, really cultivated, because it was no use going for the throat, as some parishes have. What we're saying is there's a letter there, Bob, right at the end, which says, can you say if the offsetting is in their mind to deal with the environmental issue? Yeah. So I think that ought to be made clear. The second thing that I wanted to say to you is the local planning committee meets on the 26th of August. We've got the papers out probably, Martin will know this better than me, probably 6 or 7 days before the actual meeting.
Sooner.
Yeah. We'll be seeing there what is in Regulation 19, what is going forward. We've got some advance, as we both agree, going forward. And we've called a meeting of the local plan working party, the third item, on the 24th of August, to try and assess at that early stage what needs to be done. And it is an express timetable. This is what I want to say to the council. The express timetable in order to get it completed by the end of December. So this council will be on notice that we will have to come up with any kind of proposals of any changes, probably in September or early October, to be fed into the process. So, I'm pleased that we've made the progress we have. Yeah, I'm pleased in relation to other parishes that we've done this constructively, and I'm pleased that we're not going to get everything we want, of course we might, but the policies which the planning authority have put forward, I think, ought to be welcome in terms of generality. That's my report. So,
so we just need to agree now that, that we are happy that this letter that you've all seen, which expresses just what John has asked for here, is a clarification of what offsetting really means in practical terms. Is that right?
Do we actually understand what Karen Sorrow was saying? Because was she talking about SANGs? S-A-N-G.
I was unclear about what.
Because a suitable alternative natural green space,
yeah,
is designed to take the pressure off the areas of special interest,
yeah,
i.e. divert visitors away,
yeah,
from the marshlands. It's not designed to offset environmental issues on the site of the development.
I know.
So as far as it's referring to SANGs, I don't see a problem with that.
No. But can we have clarification? That's all that we're asking for from SANGs.
Okay. No, yeah. I don't have a particular problem
no,
with
no,
that.
No, no,
I just...
No,
don't know
right.
that we actually understand.
No. She was very imprecise. We've got a recording of it. Very imprecise what she put forward. And can I say that has been borne out by other information which has come to the council.
So, do you propose, therefore, that the letter is?
I propose that the letter be.
Do you have a seconder for that? That the letter goes forward.
Chair, could I?
Yes,
I'll be very quick suggestion to you that you actually request that offsetting happens on the island.
We have.
Well, I think that's what
I
said.
Think you actually can happen in Birmingham.
No,
because she said,
you're
up to 5 kilometres. Well, I said, well, you know, in Peldon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, can I propose that the letter be sent?
Yeah. Seconder?
Are we all in favour?
Mm. Yeah.
And the last thing, Bob, on relations with East Mersey. A letter's gone in from both councils saying we're in agreement with the Caravan policy, but there are a couple of items like licensing,
yeah,
like use of cycling, which are still outstanding, and we're going to leave those to Regulation 19.
Okay, and you're all happy with that, yeah?
We're happy with that.
An interesting debate, isn't it?
It is a very interesting.
Regulation 19?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, John. Sophie, I think next is it. to receive an update and agree on your final recommendations, actions from the Youth at Events Working Group regarding the Mersey Skate Park Jam on the 24th of August this year. Sophie?
Right, okay, so yeah, we met last week, the working group met at the park actually, didn't we? It was very nice to be out for the meeting. Everything's pretty much sorted, but it wasn't until earlier today. there is a little hiccup which I'll come on to. I'll just go over the points that I sent out information on, sort of like a task tracker thing. So we've got the parking on the Legion Field, that was all agreed with the school. We have two marshals for that, John Kenny and a colleague of his called Graham. Now the access gates to the park and that field, they need to be unlocked for the event and then locked again at the end of the evening, which I was allocating to Carl, but you're no longer here, are you? That you're not around on that day, you're on holiday, I believe.
Yes.
Family holiday, yeah. So, is there anyone else that could take on that job of unlocking and locking up again after the event?
Well, unlocking could be that could be on the ground staff, couldn't it? Because we might be in your meeting.
Yeah.
So it would have to be before 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock. When's it start?
I think people the deliverers will want access from 4:30.
Okay. So, if Tom or
if they could unlock at 4, I think to be on the safe side.
But unlock it. It's only a padlock, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Combination padlock?
Yeah.
So we just need to know the combination and then we can look at that part.
The Legion has said we can access the toilets there, so that's fine. I have engaged Overguard Security, and they are bringing one SIA, one steward, and a paramedic tech first aid team. So that is covered. And in addition to that, the those delivering, they have sent over their first aid certificates. The youth team has them. So does Team Rubicon. I'll come on to dry skate in a moment. So we've got the DJ decks being run by the youth service, and Crazy Golf had their insurance and risk assessments through, which I've passed all this on to the clerk. We have Mersey Community Repair and Make doing their pop-ups at bike maintenance. We have a hydration station giving out free bottles of water where there's anything like this. That's going to be quite popular, perhaps. I think Teresa is sorting out some bottles from the co-op. Tesco's have confirmed 24 bottles. So that's all in hand. Then comments and feedback will be myself, and I think Heidi, who's in the audience today, will be helping me with that. We'll provide like flip charts for comments. We've also done a form, just two or three questions for people to answer, and also say if they'd like to help with future events or youth provision, and to fill that out and put in the box. Police has been notified, and fire brigade, and there will be a presence there, definitely from the police. Fire brigade are aware, so whether they will actually come down, they haven't said yet. But so things are all in hand and looking quite good. Then late this afternoon, I did get an email from Dry Skate, and you don't even know this, Kirsty, it was literally about an hour before I came out. Due to some really unfortunate circumstances, they're having to pull out, and they're doing the skateboard bit. However, I have immediately emailed Team Rubicon, because originally they could have done the whole lot anyway. So I've emailed them hoping that they will be able to cover the skateboard bit as well. So hopefully we will get a response within the next 24 hours on that. So yeah, that's the only main hiccup that's just happened this afternoon, and I'm pretty sure Team Rubicon will be all good with it. If not, then I'll have to look at what else to do on the skateboard. So are there any questions or?
It's only a week on Monday, so hopefully.
I know. Yeah, I think they'd had. They'd had a break in and theft of a lot of their equipment, etc. So they've got a bit of a situation going on. So, so yeah, that's a bit unfortunate for them and for us. So, but as I say, I actually can't get into my emails at the moment, so I can't see if Team Rubicon has already responded. The budget is all looking fine. And as we won't be paying dry skate, obviously we'll be able to put that money towards any extra that Team Rubicon might want for running the skateboard bit as well, as long as everyone's happy with that. But everything's all within the budget at the moment, and we have money to play with. I did send the budget over the updated one. So.
Just to clarify where we are on the costings, the total cost is £2,754.75, or thereabouts it'll be, won't it, now, changes. £1,000 grant's coming from Chris Pereira, so that's £1,754 left, which we have agreed in a previous meeting will come off Theresa's budget for wages. So we can divide the cost, so we have covered it.
Yeah.
It's but that's a standard practice.
Can we thank for the report, which is really, really good. Any idea, Sophie, about uptake? Have you got any kind of sense of the number that might come?
It's really difficult to judge. I mean, the youngsters, I've been over the park several times, and... the youngsters that are regular users, they're really enthused by it, and they're really up for it and really chuffed that we're doing it. So that's all positive. There's posters now all around the village. I don't know if people have seen them,
yeah.
But you can't miss that it's happening. It's been in Mersey Life. I haven't seen whether it's in, I don't know if the courier's come out yet, the latest one. But we sent it over to the courier.
It's come out this week, isn't it?
So,
publicity off the island as well, is it?
It was picked up. I didn't send it to Visit Colchester, but it has been advertised by Visit Colchester.
Okay.
And there are children that come to use the park from other places.
Yeah.
So they're probably passing it on to their friends. So... It's really my guesstimate, my best guesstimate, I think, would be an attendance of 50 to 150 people.
That'd be successful.
Because we're hoping that families will come, maybe, you know, parents will come with the teenage, but bring younger
yeah.
ones as well. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's difficult to judge.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions for Sophie?
And Dean's worked hard.
Thank you very much, Sophie. Let's hope for good weather and a good turnout. Well done.
Yeah.
Lot
okay.
of hard work.
Yes, but hopefully, you know, it'll be worth it and
sure,
everyone have a good day.
Yeah, I've got your shoulder and knee pads on because you do know you're
one of them.
Yes. Surprised me that they're watching them about actually doing it. Okay, moving on to the last item on the agenda then. To receive and consider a statement from Councillor Webster regarding comments made at the full council meeting on 23rd of July relating to West Mersey Town Council's involvement in the Waterside Forum. Has everybody read the statement?
I do.
You're going to read it out.
Oh, okay. Well, I've seen it. I assume somebody else had. Would you like to read it out?
Okay. Agenda item for the full council on the 13th of August. At the previous full council meeting held on the 23rd of July 2026, whilst discussing item 26193, to discuss foreshore West Mersey signage and agree any necessary actions. Councillor Powlin advised that the previous mayor had withdrawn West Mersey Town Council from the Waterside Forum and that the council should rejoin the Waterside Forum properly. At such a sensitive time, just one day after the tragic events resulting in loss of life, I am surprised by Councillor Powlin's comments, which are untrue and misleading for both West Mersey Town Council and the public. In response, I, Councillor Webster, was mayor the previous year, and at no time during my term as mayor did I withdraw West Mersey Town Council from the Waterside Forum. As mayor, nor did I have the power to do so. In his capacity as a Colchester City Councillor, Councillor Powlin, as chair of the Waterside Forum, would know that since the Waterside Forum's existence, West Mersey Town Council has been formally invited to attend the Waterside Forum, and indeed every meeting to date has been attended by councillors from West Mersey Town Council. The Waterside Forum is run by Colchester City Council and not West Mersey Town Council. It does not have members, as confirmed by Colchester City Council. It has invitees, which may change from meeting to meeting, depending on the agenda items. I further hope that all councillors can reflect and work together with regards to the safety on the beaches and in the water, rather than disingenuous comments. And it's a statement which is given to me by Councillor Webster.
And apart from noting that statement, does anyone want to comment on it?
Yes, I'd just like to say that all that Councillor Webster says there is backed up by evidence is can be demonstrated that what she said is true. Unfortunately, what Councillor Powlin asserted cannot be backed up by evidence. So I'd just ask that if it's the case that he was mistaken or otherwise, he would apologise for those comments.
Could I associate myself with what Councillor Hinderwood has just said. When that statement was made, I was aghast because I didn't recognise that was a statement that was accurate. And I think it reflected on this council that took place. So I think it is a matter for this council and the standing of this council that we hear from Councillor Powlin in relation to setting that right.
May I just ask the clerk if he's aware that we've ever withdrawn from the Waterside?
No, I'm not aware that we've ever withdrawn. There was a meeting with Jimmy Allen where in an email that was received he said that all West Mersey town councillors were invitees.
Yes.
And Teresa Webster asked if the name West Mersey could be removed from the agenda.
Yeah.
And the forum, and just be replaced with Colchester City Council.
I think she requested that the agendas were worded such that it didn't imply that West Mersey Town Council were the owners of the forum.
Yeah.
They changed it such that the agenda said held at West Mersey Town Council in that case. But and you can confirm that you have had.
Yeah, I have.
Email invitations that you distribute to all the councillors for there's only been four meetings of the Waterside Forum since the inaugural one, and West Mersey Town Councillors have attended them all, along with the clerk, previous clerk and yourself.
Well, I acknowledge your statement, but I respectfully disagree. Well, she might not have said formally withdraw the total council. The correspondence and email she sent, including email requests, which I have, was to remove West Mersey Town Council from agendas, minutes, and she challenges the involvement of the council within those. Clearly, it indicated a distance between Mersey Town Council. Mersey Town Council has not just been a member. It's been a key stakeholder. And the membership of that was the town council that actually called the meeting, such cultist retained.
This was prior to the current
entity.
It
never changed. You was not a councillor at the time that we finished.
Sorry, I don't need to be a councillor.
Has always been involved in the forum.
Can't just finish your statement.
We just need to move forward and get back to where we were, whether this council is keen on to that.
So apologise. Find the decency.
Your comments were
false.
Your comments were false, Carl. I'm just asking for an apology.
No, not false comments. The indication
yes,
she gave.
No,
was
that's not what you said. You
were...
said Councillor Webster withdrew West Mersey Town Council from the Waterside Forum, which is not correct.
So
however,
she might not do it, but she certainly indicated it should not have
So she didn't do it.
She indicated that the council should be a Colchester run fully and nothing Mersey should not.
It is run by Colchester.
No, it's usually it's
no,
a joint
it is not a joint meeting.
I'm not arguing with you in my statements.
No, you're not.
Okay.
You're not arguing.
You're not involved in this.
It is not
you are because
it's
sorry, this is not a bear pit.
No, okay.
Yeah,
well,
no,
it is
I'm
a bear
pit. May I just say that I have the email from the officer at Colchester who describes it as a Colchester City Council owned and run forum. He said it's not open to the general public. The attendance is by invitation only. The invitees are decided depending upon the agenda of the day. So it's stated by the Colchester Council officer from the Parks Department that they own it and they run it. That is the fact. If Carl, Councillor Parnin, wants it to change in the future, fine. Put a proposal to do so. But at present, it is not a joint committee or a forum. It's not a committee, it's a forum. It has no status to make decisions. It's just getting the facts straight. I'm not against the entity itself. That's fine. I think it's very useful. But to misstate or be dishonest about the organisation of it is not acceptable, so I'm asking for an apology, but I'll leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah, if Councillor Powell is refusing to apologise, that's noted.
Yeah. And can I say for the record that I also think that Carl actually does apologise. It's as simple as that, Carl. He got it wrong on the day, mate.
Speak to the members of the committee that day.
It's not a committee.
Or the forum. Speak to them.
Okay.
There's no members.
It's an agenda item to hear a statement which we've heard. We've had some discussion on it. I don't think we can do anything more on it.
I've got to stop now, yes. I've asked for an apology. Councillor Powell has refused to apologise, and that's how it stands.
Okay, so we'll note that. So I think that's it in the back discussion.
Yeah.
Thank you for all turning up and a very warm evening. And for your participation, councillors. It's been very useful.
She did not withdraw West Mersey Town Council.